here for 4 or 5 Sundays now, and me sharing, and we're almost finished with the second chapter. No, we're not either. Oh, no, we're not even close. But we are in the second chapter, Esther chapter 2. And we've been looking at the story here, and you know the basic story. And the basic story is that there's King Ahasuerus, also called Xerxes, in other places. He had a big feast, and he called Vashti, his wife, the queen, to come. And she didn't come because she was busy. And the ministry was more important. It not only displeased the king, but it was a slap in the face of all of the kingdom. And so she was removed from seeing his face. She wasn't killed, like many of them are. But she was removed from seeing his face. And so the plan was, let's not just find a bride, a queen for the king, but let's make this a proclamation that this is the important thing of the kingdom, and we're going to spread it all over the kingdom, that the king needs a counterpart. And so they gathered the potential brides, one bride, but potentially to find which one would fit the bill, which one could be in the truth of the Word of God, which one could be conformed to the image of him. And in that process, she could be changed. And what we've seen here is, we'll start at verse 8. This is Esther chapter 2, verse 8. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree were heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Hegai, keeper of the women. The reason why I'm pronouncing it Hegai is I got sick of pronouncing it 87 different ways, and I went and I got Alexander Scorby's verbal reading. And this is what I came away with. If he's wrong, you blame him. For the longest years before we started this thing, I called him Hey Guy, which was also what Kevin Grigelko called everybody. Yeah. Hey Guy, y'all got it. Hey Guy. Anyway. So there is this decree that literally is sent out to all of the inhabitants that whatever was important in the kingdom is no longer that important. There's one thing that matters to the king, and it's about the heart of the king, and it's about the need of the king. And this has been the move of the Lord, or the way the Lord has moved among us, and drawing our hearts, you know, drawing our hearts to no longer go to Jesus for us, but to try to go to Jesus in that spirit and in that manner that is after his kind and that is of him and that is a reflection of him and that suits him and that, I use the word satisfies him, pleases him. And the scriptures use that phrase a lot, his good pleasure, which we never think of hardly. I mean, you know, I'm speaking universally throughout the kingdom. But this decree went out and said, this is what we're going to do now. We're going to focus on this point and on this issue. And then, so they were gathered there to Shushan, the palace. And then verse 9, and the maiden pleased him, and this is still talking about Hegai, the keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness from him. And he speedily gave her ointments for beautification with such as belonged to her, even seven maidens who were suitable to be given her out of the king's house. And he removed her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. So that's great. That's great. You know, he guy, the Holy Spirit, and he represents the Holy Spirit just as Eliezer did in the story of Isaac getting a bride. Same kind of thing and same kind of spirit and same kind of relationship. And so we see that there is something there. And you got to realize now, you know, the Holy Spirit's looking at all of these that are potential bride. He's looking at all of these that are potential bride because they're not bride. And Esther isn't either, because she gets there and she's beautiful, but he immediately starts giving her things for her beautification. And we discussed this before, but that is, you know, beauty on your own level is great. And maybe it'll work in the world, but it don't work with Jesus, see. And the Holy Spirit knows that the king is going to go, nah, you know. So it's like, okay, he starts giving her things from the king, because it's of the king's house, isn't it? All of it is. From the king that is going to start transforming her. But there is favor there. And remember, Mordecai, you know, she had favor with him, who was really her uncle, and he began to act as her father. And then the king did. And so this is like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit going on here. But it doesn't tell us at this stage what that favor is. And we might be surprised, because we would always assume that there's something special about us that really does the trick. But it is, while it is with her, it is not just her, because she's got to go through this process just like anybody else. All right. So, verse 10. Esther had not revealed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not make it known. Okay, so anyway, they're brought in, and when I think of Esther, I think of Matthew 13. There was a lot of parables Jesus gave in Matthew 13, and they were all kingdom parables. And kingdom parables relate to all of us. They relate to us in a certain spirit, and that's what went forth in this situation, was that this decree was sent to the furthest ends of this gigantic kingdom and said, whatever we do right now, the emphasis is going to be upon him. Well, in one of those parables in Matthew 13, there was a man who found a field, and he found a treasure in it. And he went and sold everything that he had to buy the field, because the field had the treasure in it. He didn't buy the treasure. He bought the dirt. We were made from the dirt. And he bought and paid for us. But there is to be a treasure in us, and that ground could have sat there for 100 years or 1,000 years with treasure buried in it, and nobody ever saw it. Amen? Nobody ever really saw it. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, whoopee-doo, where's Jesus? Where's the treasure? You know what I mean? Show me the treasure. Show me the money. No, the treasure. I'm Jesus. We're talking about Jesus here. And, some guy comes along just like Hegai and looks. This guy that finds the field, he looks deeper. He finds deeper in there, and he says, this is worth buying, and, you know, this is worth something. And everybody else walked by and said, it's not worth anything. Okay. So Esther is in a similar situation, not exact, but in a similar situation. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, because he doesn't just see the surface. Well, you know, even the scriptures say, God looketh not upon the outward or the surface, but he looks upon the heart. Well, the Holy Spirit, he doesn't just look on the surface. And frankly, you know, most of us really are surface dwellers. And we just find the surface things, you know. I mean, you look at Facebook, okay, and I'm sorry, I'm not picking on Facebook. But it's such a great example. You know, you go to Facebook and you go, okay, you see the best picture of the person you could ever have, you know, glamour shots or something, I don't know. And all of the best information about them, you know. I mean, just like, oh, and you're just going, oh, my God, I would love this person, you know. I mean, like these dating things, you know, sites, you know, Match.com, all the eHarmony. Anyway, yeah, Christian Mingle, yeah, okay. And we're looking through all this stuff going, oh, ooh, I like that. Well, you don't know what's buried in that. You know what I mean? They got stuff in there, but it ain't the most treasure you're going to get there is on what's on the surface. Because once you dig in there, baby, it could be ugly. You know what I mean? Pandora's box in there, not a treasure chest. But how do you know that? If you're a surface person, you go, oh, you know, I mean, this junk, you know, my God, oh, I like long walks and I like, you know, puppies and just, you know. You know, I mean, I'm supposed to go, oh, they like puppies. I can't imagine. You know, so do I. This is wonderful how this works. I wonder if they like kitties too. Little kittens, you know. Well, and some guy that's going to say, well, I like puppies or I like kittens, you know. Yeah, you like to feed them to puppies or something, you know. You know, I mean, there's this, you know, you just don't know what you're getting, okay? Well, I'm just, it is my opinion, most people don't know what they're getting in church with everybody or on the job or whatever. But the Holy Spirit, thank God, the Holy Spirit, he sees past all of our stuff. Now, that's valuable. That's valuable. Because he also sees all the junk, but he sees past that. See, because it's his job to take something that is potential bride and make it bride. Potential, someone would say, well, she's not a potential bride because she's, you know, got this and that and this problem or whatever. Well, you know what? It's funny. One thing is funny. Funny is love. Love might, things that you hated about yourself, he might like. You know, she goes, you know, well, I hate this. You know, I hate my lips. And he goes, give me them lips, baby. You know what I mean? I mean, and he's going, well, they look great to me. You know, this is, right? I mean, this is, you know. And same, vice versa, you know. You can look at a guy says, you know, don't look at me. I'm hideous, you know. Beauty and the Beast. There. I'm hideous. Don't look at me. She goes, no. But girls tend to see a little more deeper because there's so many ugly guys. So they have to. Not any here. We know that. We know that this is. We've been blessed, but but you know, but good looking is still surface, isn't it? So that's the wrong road. But the Holy Spirit knows exactly what the king wants, what he desires. See. And because he's been there for a long time in the palace, he knows the king. He reports to the king. So he's, you know, if he's in charge of the women, he better already know kind of what the king likes. Does that make sense? Because, you know, if you're just going, well, I bet he'll like that, you know, drag her in there. And he goes, one more like that, and I'm cutting your head off. You know what I mean? So it behooves him to find the heart of the king, right? That's important. So he brings her in, and just like all of them, though, there were things given for their beautification and all this kind of stuff. And that meant, what that meant was, it didn't matter who came in that, didn't matter how many women or whatever, didn't matter. One thing was a common denominator to all of them, and that was they needed to change. You're the only potential, right? A bunch of these ladies are going to go home, back to what they were, right? All right. So right now, everybody's just potential. But if you have enough sense to realize that he guy's close to the king and knows what he likes, she will get close to the Holy Spirit. Makes sense? She will get close to the Holy Spirit. So in this process, there's a whole bunch of stuff that she has to put in and put on and put off, right? There's this whole process of things. I'm not gonna read. I'm kind of just giving you scriptures here, but you don't have to turn there because I'm not gonna read it. But in Daniel chapter one, verse 3-6, most of you know the story that the three Hebrew children were brought in, and they were captives also, just like Esther. But this was the early, very earliest. In fact, I think it was the first round of captives when Nebuchadnezzar first, started taking over Jerusalem. And he went in and he took out all of the young people and the people that had knowledge of this and that. And it was all the upper crust and upper class and all this kind of stuff, and took them back. Well, among them was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so the first thing off the bat was the king said, well, I want you to look good. Now, this is in Babylon now. This isn't in Shushan. So this is a different story and a different king. Got it? It's a different story and a different king. It's not King Jesus. And he says, well, I want you to look good, so I want you to eat these certain things. And, you know, said a bunch of spicy food and stuff like that. And these guys said, well, you know. And they found favor with the guy that was over them. And they said, well, let us eat what we want to eat. And if it doesn't work and we don't look good, we'll do it your way. So he did, and they ended up, you know, when the time came to check them out, they were rosy-cheeked and, you know, gorgeous, you know. And so the guy went, okay. Because, see, he's going to get in trouble with the king if I know it's not exactly like this, but the Holy Spirit wants to please Jesus by presenting to him a bride after his heart, or those, male or female, after his kind. And so that's where you get that picture coming from Haran and Eliezer on the camel and the bride on the camel and spending that long journey because she was potential. I'm telling you, when he showed up to Haran, she wasn't bride or she wasn't the right stuff. She was potential. She was potential. And everything depended on that camel ride. Well, in this case, in the case of Esther, everything depends on this period of time that we give to Jesus. And that we say, we're serious, because you better believe they were serious. Okay? We're serious, and so we want you, Holy Spirit, to do what it was. We talk about transforming. You know, we say, oh, Holy Spirit, transform me. And that's fine, that's great. But our version of transforming is not usually what his version of it is, because his is taking stuff away that we like, but the king wouldn't. Yes. Amen? And he does it with all of us because none of us are what we ought, none of us are what we think we are. How about that one? None of us are what we think we are. We all need the work of the Holy Spirit to fashion our heart after Jesus's. And here's kind of my theory on some of this. I believe that this process, when these women were brought in and they were potential, I believe this is the time period where conforming to him starts taking place. And I'm going to paint it like this, okay? Esther lived in captivity. Then this decree went out. The king wants one after his heart. And so she was taken in, and then she's got this year span, just like all of them, this span of 1 year of preparation before the choice is made, who's going to really have conformed and really be that. But there's a conforming, and again, this is my theory, there's a conforming that's taking place to his image that is different than Christ in you. Now, you know, if you don't agree, it's fine. But I'm just saying, because when the union happened, she's one. She is him. Does that make sense? It's just done. But there's this conforming period of time where she's learning his mind, she's learning his heart, she's changing, but see, what's happening is she or are we as Christians conforming to Jesus? And are we as serious as Esther was? Are we wanting to know him and to be with him in the way that he wants us to be? Or are we wanting him to conform to us and be made in our image so that he makes us happy all the time and everything's about us? That's the key. Okay, well, Esther was serious. She was serious. And so she's constantly listening to the Holy Spirit. Can I get amen? Constantly, and probably pursuing and wanting to hear from him because he speaks beautiful words. What does that mean? He speaks Jesus. He doesn't just speak of Jesus. He speaks Jesus. And doesn't, when Jesus was ready to go away, 3.5 years ministry done, he said, "I must go away. I must go away." What do you mean you must go away? Me, the surface, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus that you know has to go away, and the Holy Spirit is going to teach you me on an eternal heart level. Don't worry, I'm sending him back. So he comes back and we go, "Oh, I'm a mama," and we just, you know, everything's about, I'm not, you know, again, here I'm blaspheming the Holy Spirit, but... I bet I'm not. You know, the Holy Spirit's going, "That's two." But my point is that our emphasis is all on, you know, what he can do for us, what gifts you can give to me, what, you know, how you can make me look spiritual without change. How you can make me look spiritual without change. Oh, you know, I mean, folks, I've seen people, I'm sorry, but I've been around a while, okay. You know, and I've been a pastor for, you know, a while. And I've seen people stand up in church and they'd prophesy and they'd go, "Thus said the Lord, da 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 da, everything." And I mean, it would just be, you know, the wording was great and maybe even it was from the Lord because it was a gift of the Spirit. Gift, you don't earn a gift. You know, I mean, it's not a gift if you earned it. It's a, you know, it's their reward. Yeah, you know, it's your reward for what you did. But a gift, you know, I mean, I'm sure some of you have given gifts to your children when they didn't deserve it. Not a one. Okay. My kids are perfect. Yeah. Well, my parents' kids weren't. Because I was there, and I was one of them. But, you know, prophesy and or pray. I've heard, oh my God, incredible prayers. And then, you know, and then they go out and have a flat tire and they're standing there, yeah, I can't believe this. Why me, Lord? And you're just going, we all get flats, dude. It happens, you know. There's these things called nails and stuff. But, you know, and just lose it. And you're just going, what the, you know? This can't be. Well, all right, what does that prove to me? It doesn't prove they're evil. It proves that just like the rest of us, it's not about what's on the surface. Jesus wants us changed from the inside out. And this is the goal. So there is a conforming and there is a learning of the mind of Christ, but eventually you have the mind of Christ. Now, isn't it true that you wouldn't even have a clue what the mind of Christ was unless it was you were learning about it, and then you said at a certain juncture, hey, I want that, you know? It's kind of like that, because we're slow to grab hold of stuff. So the conforming process is this process where, you know, let's just put it like this. Esther was already saved, meaning she was one of the people of God, even as a captive, right? Wasn't she already one of the people of God? She was Jewish, so she's one of the people of God. All right, so she's already saved. So she doesn't have to worry. Salvation's not even an issue if you're a captive, if you're saved, okay? But then there's this process where we start learning. And in truth, if you are truly born again and you want Jesus, man, you're already all of that, but through the cross. But you don't have any clue of what that really means. Your mind is not renewed. And that's why the scriptures tell us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. It didn't say just renew your mind, learn stuff. It says be renewed in the spirit of your mind. But at a certain juncture, Paul says to all-out, full-blown Christians, let this mind not just learn the thoughts, not just conform your mind to it, but let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what does it describe? Self-giving nature that pours out for others. Okay? So, I'm going to read this. Since I'm not looking hardly at my notes at all. You know, so like the three Hebrew children, they had a special diet. So I wrote, we may assume from the experience of the three Hebrew children in the book of Daniel that there was a special food that Haggai ordered for her also. Okay? And I wrote down, okay, Esther had special food. I wrote down, it was bride food. It was stuff that's going to get inside of her and start the transformation. And the king ordered it. Okay? And then I'm just going to read this little section too. It's easy to share from it. But so if she ate bride food, it would bring her into the shape the king enjoyed. Thank God there's a little rumbling on that one. To understand that he's wanting her to have a certain shape. Now, I know you're going, whoa, you know, maybe he likes, you know, voluptuous women or, you know, no, well, you know, we're talking spiritually. But physically, it would make a difference too. You know, I mean, imagine a year in the king's women's palace eating fatty foods. They all went in beautiful and they come out and they're going, or you know, I'm in trouble. I thought the Holy Spirit was going to get me. Are we not, some of us, eating junk food spiritually? Do you want God, you want me to just pray right now, God, manifest what you really look like outwardly, what you are spiritually inwardly. Ready? Go. We'd all go, no more. I mean, there'd be people sitting here in diapers. It'd be ugly. I'm telling you, it'd be ugly. but also among those women, don't you believe out of all of those women that there were some of them that were probably kind of stubborn and uppity and picky, and they said, I don't want to eat that. Okay. Are there Christians and say, I don't want to eat that. I don't, you know, I like these dainties right here, but don't sprinkle any of that cross on anything that I want to eat. You know what I mean? Don't put the cross on any of that stuff. They're picky. They pick and choose. It's a smorgasbord. They think it is. God says, this is the feast I want you to eat from so that you can conform to what I want. And we walk up and we go, I like that, and I like that, and oh yeah, way down there, I like that. And we skip all of this other stuff. So, if you only eat what you want, you're never going to be what Jesus wants. Okay? If your life is only about what you want, you'll never be what Jesus wants. Amen? I mean, that's like math, but it's like kindergarten math. Okay? And then if you, and here's the deal, if you were one of those women or if you're one of those Christians and you only eat what you want, this is going to grieve the Holy Spirit. Because his job, his goal is to bring you into oneness and into the image of Christ. That's all that he's really wanting to do. That's his mission. And if we're eating stuff that's going to countermand that, then he's going to be grieved and frustrated with us because we won't listen to the Holy Spirit. And he's, you know, all he's wanting to do is help us get to Jesus. Right? I mean, that's his heart. That's his goal. And then we're fighting, you know, we claim we love Jesus, but we're fighting against the very one that'll get us there. See? I jotted down a few scriptures that say that. One is from Hebrews, it says, and also in Acts, they do always resist the Holy Spirit. They do always resist the Holy Spirit. I mean, we could think that, well, you know, we look at some other church, some denomination, and they don't believe in gifts of the Spirit. And we say, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. But wouldn't it be worse to resist the Holy Spirit in terms of his ministry to bring us into the image of Christ? That would be the greatest sin, because that one is not only sinning against the Holy Spirit, resisting him, it's standing against Jesus' heart for us and the reason why he saved us in the first place. I'll read a little more here. His goal, the Holy Spirit, his goal is to make us the bride Jesus wants, but we see this thing of changing what we wear as or anything else as religious rules. We resist the Holy Spirit. We miss Christ and gain the world. Imagine if Esther had only seen Hegai's help as that of taking away her freedoms, and therefore she would throw a fit because you're just taking away my freedoms. And he's saying, I am trying to answer your prayer. You've been praying, you've been acting like you're serious, but every time I reach out to you and say, okay, let's do this, let's change this, you go, no, why are you doing that to me? You know, I'm thinking, you know, he's legalistic. Well, there's something worse than legalistic. That's absolute selfishness. Self-centeredness, even if it's not rank selfishness, it is still about my wants. Therefore, don't touch that, Lord. Don't touch that, Holy Spirit. So, you know, here's the way I think about it. I think, you know, if you're going to be that way, just quit praying and acting like, you know, that you, that's what you want. You know what I mean? Just quit acting like you want Jesus like that. Just throw up your hands and go, I didn't really want you anyway. Okay? I was doing fine before this recent thing of let's really seek the Lord. I was really great. And of course, who can say that? None of us. So I wrote, to only eat what we prefer is bad for us. It forms us into shapes that are not pleasing to the King's eyes. It also grieves the Holy Spirit. Why? Because when we do not receive his words and methods, we're actually rejecting the very king that we say we want to get closer to. All right, so I put a few changes. Number one, we need to change what we put on, or she needs to change garments. So let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 10 says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Okay, so this is kind of an interesting way to word this in light of the context here, because it's really almost speaking of knowledge, but it's not. It's saying we put on the new man that is renewed in the knowledge after the image. In other words, it almost feels like there's a conforming going on, but it's not him. It's the image of him. It's the knowledge of him, but it's not him yet. And don't you agree that there has to be a seeking heart? There's a lot of searching and hungering and soaking that takes place before you just say, you know what? Christ is, you know, Paul said Christ liveth in me. That's a pretty big statement. He didn't just say, I believe the truths of Christ or the doctrines or whatever. But I believe there's a period of time where we're still half captive and half coming into what bride is. You understand what I'm saying? Potential bride. So these in this situation, in Esther, the king's the one who provided the garments, and there's a scripture that shows that. And you know, he knows what he likes. Can I get an amen? He knows what he likes. And, sometimes me and Deb will be at a store or something like that, and she'll go, do you like this? And she'll hold it up like this and go, you know, like it's a top or something. She goes, do you like this? And she'll, it's apparently she liked it, you know. And I usually cannot, I mean, for the life of me, I cannot tell by this. I go, you're going to have to put that thing on. You know, I can't, you know, put on, you know, you got to put it on. So she'll put it on, and sometimes I go, you ask her. Sometimes I look at something and I go, I never would have thought I liked it, but when you put it on, I like it. There's other times I'm going, no, that's out of here, you know. Because she's asking me because she wants to wear what I like. Does that make sense? Well, Jesus has prepared garments, as it were, spiritual garments that we're supposed to be putting on. And this is talking about it. And verse 12 even says some of those ornaments of it. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, and it goes on, forbearing one another. You know, we say, I put on, you know, we read this and we say, well, thank God I put on kindness and tender mercies, but we don't forbear one another. I thought that's where you show kindness and tender mercies. No, with my dog. You know, there's a saying that, you know, if you want to know how much your wife loves you, put her in the trunk of your car and lock her in there for about an hour and then open it up and see how she acts. And then it says, and do that with your dog. Well, I know Rocky, if you did that with him and I open it, he'd go, hey, you know, he doesn't go, what the heck? What's that about? Those are none of my sayings. I've just heard them. Yeah. I've never locked her in a trunk. Have I? So So the king provided new garments, but he provides them to match his taste, not your taste. Okay, so that's a big change. Well, I don't want to change. I don't want to change. I like what I like. Well, he goes, well, I don't like what you like. But, oh, never mind, you just go do what you want. He has to say that, because he's not going to go, I demand. He'll just go, okay, if you're not with me, you're not with me. You just go your own way. And we mentioned this the other day, but all we see is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my provider. You know, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And we say his grace is sufficient for me, but what we mean is all the junk he gives me is sufficient for me. You know, I only ask for what I want, you know. Does anybody ever pray a prayer and ask for what you don't want? Sometimes you do. You don't realize it. When the Spirit starts moving and the Lord's here, you go, I want you. And he goes, I heard that. Because I ain't going to be hearing that for another month, I bet. So I'm going to hold you to that. Ephesians 1:12, I think that's, well, you know, we're right here. We can just flip over there past Philippians. Ephesians 1:12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. That, folks, we're not just supposed to be Christians. What does it mean to be a Christian? Read your Bible. Go to a building. Pray. I'm a Christian now. This says that we might be to the praise of his glory, not our glory, but to his glory. Whatever thing that radiates glory about us shouldn't be us. It should be to the praise of his glory. In other words, it's very simple. Just wipe everything else out and just say, if your heart is after him and you desire that the Lord be glorified, then it can't be after you. It can't be, well, I'm pursuing my own glory. You know? And folks, we do that. You know, well, we say, well, I don't do that anymore. When I was a sinner, I used to do that. But now that I'm a Christian, my ministry is given to Jesus and me and my glory. I mean, we never say that, but, you know. I wrote down, the Holy Spirit's choices have a purpose so that we might be, not do to the praise of his glory, be. That's a being change, not a doing change. Well, I used to do this, but now I do these things for God. Well, that's fine. That's good. Praise God. But if your being hadn't changed, your doing doesn't mean anything to him. You say, no, he's into stuff. No. I don't think he's into stuff. I think he's into the heart. I think he's into his son, and he wants us to conform to the image of his son. And then he wants Christ formed in us, because Paul eventually prayed that. He prayed that you'd be conformed to the image of his son. But he also prayed in another place after that in Romans 8 there. He prayed that Christ may be formed in you. I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. And that's him, not just the image of him. That's down here where the bride gets the king. And they're one, not the process of trying to change so that he sees things that touch his heart. And it starts affecting him. And this was the situation with Esther. And part of the deal, too, was the only garments that they could choose from were the ones that the king provided. There was no mall. There was no mall that they could go down and go, well, okay, I bet he'll like this, you know, or whatever. It was his provision. But his provision was so that we might be to the praise of his glory. Why? Okay. Look at Vashti. Perfect example. Okay. She might walk in and say, well, I know he likes this dress. Or she might not walk in and she's got that dress on and he doesn't care what she's wearing, even if he bought it for her and spent the most money ever and he really likes her in it. She doesn't come to him. She's not coming to him. She's doing what she wants to do. And he says, that's not what I want. So he's not into things. He's not into it. He's not into it as we are into it. We're so into it. A thought flashed across my mind there, but I'm not going to say it because it's Sunday morning and there are people who could go into shock. But I'm getting older and gray and I'm eccentric, so I'm liable to say anything. They were to put on that which came from his likes and his choices. Because his choices are going to be, this is the way I like you. Is that all right?
Yes.
Is that all right for Jesus to say, my choices are for things that I like and this is the way I like you? Well, I don't want to be that way. Well, then you don't want to be what you think you want to be. No, I want Jesus. I'm Jesus. What? No, you couldn't be because Jesus liked me in the way I look. And he goes, no, I don't. He says, I have something prepared for you, though. It's called the cross. And I want you to go there with me on a date. And be crucified with me. Are you with me, honey? And she would go, no, there's a denomination down the street that doesn't say that stuff. And I can believe that Jesus likes me anyway. You know, just as I am. You know the song, just as I am without one plea. Come to the altar just like you are. Well, the goal is to get them down there and they leave the altar different. We go, well, he takes me just as I am. Well, yeah. But the altar is the end of that. That's right. That's right. And now he wants you to conform to the image of his son. The Father wants you to conform to the image of his son. Now Jesus wants you to be so one with him that you're one with him. Do you know what I mean by that? So one with him that the oneness is the relationship and the key and the hope of the branch. I'm the vine, Jesus said. You're the branches. He didn't say you're a vine too. Just grow and be what you think you're supposed to be. He said, abide in me, and if I abide in you, then you're going to bring forth me, my fruit. You're going to manifest that which is me. But if you live separate and you fight the process, then you don't even understand what the whole basis of, you know, this is him talking of my heart and of what I set up. You don't even see the fullness of this plan. You just see people are lost and they get saved and now you're not going to go to hell. And isn't he a great God? Well, he is, but his desires go beyond just saving you from hell. Let me see if I got. All right, another point of change. How she carries herself. How she carries herself. Are you still in Ephesians? Y'all didn't turn back yet, did you? Because let's go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 17. How she carries herself. Her walk and her talk. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. He didn't say you didn't learn Christianity this way. It says Christ. This is about learning him. This is about learning him, and these things are not him. You say, they're bad things. It's worse than bad things. These are not him. These are not the fruit of him. This is not you abiding in him and him abiding in you. This is not oneness. This is you in your raw state. And if that's you there and you say, well, okay, but I'm saved now, so I'm going to clean up my act, he'll still say, it's not Jesus. He'll still say that. He'll go, you know, you have not learned Christ that way. We always make that read like you haven't learned Christianity or you haven't learned, that's not the way to please God. You know, if you're going to please God, you need to shape up your act and you need to try harder. You know, you need to go to Avis and try harder. You know, all of it is about the spirit that is, I'm going to gain something. It's like a Pharisee. I'm going to gain something. I'm going to gain stature with God instead of I'm going to lose my stature that I might grow up into him in all things who is the head. That I might be brought to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christianity. No. The measure of the stature, the fullness of the deep teachings. No. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You can't get that without stop living as an independent fig tree and start living as a branch. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And what he meant was this, I am the vine, you are my branches. You are my branches. You are not you anymore in the sense that you always held yourself. And then we're here in Ephesians 4, so let's look at verse 29 and 30. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use for edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Do you see it? This is he guy. He's trying to get you to the Lord, and you use your mouth in ways that are not ladylike. I'm talking to men and women here. You use your mouth in ways that are not ladylike, or you walk. See, this both included your walk and your talk. Okay, let's see. All right. Let's look at it like this, that there's this process that's going on. Here's all these potential, those who are going to be potential bride, and this process is going on, and maybe they don't fully realize how much they need to change because they came with a wrong concept that how good they were was going to be enough. But in the mind of Hegai and in the mind of the king, there's this whole nother thought, and that is, if she's my bride, can you see the king talking to Hegai? If she's my bride, you know, when we walk into a room, I need her to exude me. I need her to be a reflection of me. Everyone's going to look at her like she's me. Does that make sense? That she's me. Not just with me. Not as bride. Not as wife. So he's thinking like that. And then someone else, another counselor, is saying, yeah, and also, she's going to be the queen for all the people. And so she needs to be able, you know, she don't need to walk into a room like she's off of West Texas Ranch or something, you know. How y'all doing there? You know? You already have a party? You know, and you go, oh my God, you have to carry yourself a certain way. You know, well, she goes, well, what? I thought you liked me. And he goes, well, yes and no. You know, I can like you to a certain point, but you can't be bride. You just can't. Why not? You just can't. And I can't explain it to you. Well, but I want to, you know. Well, you're going to have to change the way you talk. And if you don't, it's grieving the Holy Spirit who is trying to fill you with Christ and the mind of Christ and the nature of Christ so that what comes out of your mouth ministers grace to others, and it's not about you getting to say what you want to say because you think you're right. And then no longer walk. Both of these. Well, what isn't there a story like Pygmalion or something like that that's kind of like that? And it's the same thing. None of us know how to walk with Jesus in a proper way. We think we do. We go, well, I walk in the knowledge that he gave me. Well, there's an aspect of that. Good. That's great. But there's also a spirit and a grace that you're supposed to. It says it. There's a spirit and a grace that you're supposed to carry yourself in. And there's a. And we haven't even got to it. And we won't get to it tonight. But that is the big soaking that has to take place. But right now, it is this thing of someone hearing something out of us, and they go, that's not just good or God, that's Jesus. Remember with Peter? They took note of him that he'd been with Jesus. This is the accusers did. Brought him, drug him in there, and he's talking, and they're going, God, this guy's been with Jesus. They didn't say, this guy's a Christian now. That's different. Fisherman, Christian. That's really something. There's something of Jesus I'm getting out of this. There's something of Jesus that's being communicated. And in our walk, there's a grace of walk that reflects him. And I'm not just talking about a Christian walk. I'm talking about the way you carry yourself in your heart and mind to reflect him. That's different than a Christian walk. It is a heart issue that says, I know his heart, and I know what would truly reflect him. And so I can't do this. Someone else says, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. Why are you so dumb giving that up? I can't do it. I just don't believe that's going to reflect his heart. Well, someone who doesn't have a clue of that just doesn't have a clue of it. But there has to be this connection. It has to be about Jesus. Our hearts have to come to that. Or we're just potential brides that will be sent home. You understand what we're using that, but we're just Christians that are going to go back to our everyday way of thinking and acting and talking, and we're not going to be brought in to Christ in us, the hope of glory. It'll be Christ save us, the hope of salvation. And that's fine if that's all you want, because you will be saved. If that's all you want, that's fine. He's so good. He is so good that you don't have to worry. You'll be saved and, you know, live happily ever after and whatever that means. All right, so let's close. Those who can, let's stand together and we'll just... Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, you are beyond what has been shared this morning from me. there is something you are doing in this group, and it is powerful, and it is you, and it is drawing us unto you in a way that is not just to get something or to gain something spiritually or to get rid of something that is negative in our life, but it is simply to learn to walk, to talk, to come into your presence and to be with you in a manner that we could be to your glory, that we could be to the praise of your glory, and that in itself would satisfy you, would bring a satisfaction that we can't understand the depths of that. But your scriptures do talk about it throughout. And they do reflect these things that there comes a time in the progression as we move forward in you that the emphasis changes from being about us to being about you. Lord, we ask that you continue to allow Higai, the Holy Spirit, to apply things that will put off things, that will put on things, that will put in things, that will just touch your heart in some way. Just touch your heart in some way that. And that would be our reward, Lord. That would be enough. We thank you. Father, let your move continue, let the Spirit continue to move on us. Bring us together tonight. And may we make new steps forward. Father, we also just close. We just ask you to bless Kelly and to move by your Spirit in this way that we've prayed. Lord, put it on the hearts of those who feel led of you to respond either by just personal words or prayer or covering to her. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're dismissed.